everyone, and welcome to what was the Get Us Out of Retail podcast. Now, I know that sounds weird, but we're actually going to be going through a rebranding. And in this rebranding, we are just going to be called Sam and Parker. And so, welcome to the Sam and Parker podcast. We'll explain more in the episode because this is going to be where we explain everything about the rebranding. So, thanks for listening, thanks for sticking in with us, and I hope you enjoy.
Recording, and
we're back
doing this again.
Yep. It's been a while. We're like, we're back last time, and then we fell off the face of the earth again.
It happened.
Oops, a lot happened.
A lot did happen. So we are going through a rebranding right now, because this has been the best project of my life, and it's been an amazing experience. But when things aren't working for you or aren't working for the audience, it's time to reevaluate.
Reevaluate and rejudge our plans.
So we're going bigger with our plans, going more in depth. We're working on some really, really exciting things.
We're going for more of a general podcast to more of a focused.
Yeah, it's getting a lot more precise. And so, the first thing to address is we are changing the name to Sam and Parker. And the reason why we are doing that is for branding purposes. So we want to be able to have a website, a blog, like merch in the future. Like, we're going to work on designing a bunch of different things to sell. And throughout all of this, we want the name to stay exactly the same. And so we will no longer be using the Get Us Out of Retail. We'll be using the Sam and Parker.
Although it's a good joke. But now I'm trying to get back into retail because we're broke. So.
It's just not.
It's not going to fix anymore.
Like I said, it was good for the time. It was a good starting. And I'm always going to remember it. Like, fun with a lot of really good feelings. Yeah. But it is time to move on from that. And so with that, we are moving on to specifically LGBTQ topics. Mm-hmm. And that is mainly what we are going to be covering. Now, we might do an episode here and there about like our lives or stuff we've done, but it still is all going to relate back to that. And so if you were a listener that was listening before and liked what we were doing before, we are changing and we're not doing that anymore. So if you want to stick along for this ride, then that's great. If not, that's okay.
Promise it'll be worth it.
This will be fun.
Yeah, we're still working with it.
And it's not like you have to be LGBTQ to listen. That's part of our whole thing, is we want it to be like for queer people, but also for allies.
Yeah, broadcast and educate. These can be episodes for the people in your life that don't quite understand queer people, and maybe they can learn a thing or two.
Or for queer people that either want people that are going through the same thing as them, or want different insight, or want to learn something.
Or, I don't know, are bored and they like other queer people, as we do. Like, communities.
As we do.
As we do. I know I'm always looking for LGBT podcasts, and
yeah,
kind of hard to find sometimes.
Well, and that's what I'm hoping, is to build a really good community, not just full of queer people, but predominantly that, and that way we all share experiences and all of that. So do you want to give sort of like a story, like when you knew you were LGBT, like stuff like that, and like kind of briefly how we ended up here?
Yeah, well, that's a long story. Well, I mean, I've kind of always felt different, which is something I'll think a lot of LGBT people
say. That's how every story starts
out. We're like, oh yeah, something was wrong. It's not that it was wrong, but I had a crush.
Something was off.
Yeah, something was different. I had a crush on a girl in my kindergarten class who was a friend of mine, and I grew up in a very conservative Christian religious household, and I never understood what that meant. I just knew this girl was very pretty, and I liked her, and I didn't know what to do. And I just felt wrong in my body. You know, I was raised female, and I remember not necessarily hating dressing up like a pretty princess. You know, kids like dress up, but it felt like that. It felt like dress up. It never felt like me. And it was always, I was always really confused growing up. I never felt like everybody else described themselves. And so when I got to middle school, I found out about LGBT people. Like I said, I was kind of under a rock. I found out LGBT people and I fell down the rabbit hole of sexuality and discovering who I was. I mean, I was out as lesbian, I was out as bisexual, pansexual. I mean, I went down the whole line until I eventually came up with queer. And after, sometimes when you figure out your sexuality, your gender starts to question itself.
Which, with that constant changing, that's something that a lot of conservative people have a problem with. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, you can't even decide what you want to be, so like, how am I supposed to respect you? Like that, like I've heard that pointed out a lot recently, and I just feel like, I feel like that comes with the notion of things being fluid too, yeah, along with you figuring things out.
I mean, it's not like you grew up in kindergarten and you're like, oh, I want to be an astronaut. Things change. Things don't stay the same. Things are constantly changing. You choose different career paths, you choose different identities, and you start to figure yourself out, you know? And I even flew around with gender for a long time, where I started getting in the drag scene and thought that maybe I was just a lesbian who was really into drag. Or then I thought I might be gender fluid, but then I started noticing that I never really felt female. And I really thought about that. I did a lot of research. I watched a lot of queer representation on YouTube. YouTube is a big part of it. And I found the term trans. And I decided that he, they pronouns worked really good for me. I started out with he, him pronouns for a long time. And I broadened my horizons. And then I finally found out that it doesn't have to be binary. I grew up with this idea that you had to be either female or male. And I knew I wasn't female, but I never fully felt male either. So I eventually fell down the line of being transmasculine non-binary, with using the term trans guy in general, just because it's easier for to explain myself to people. Not that I should have to, but it's just, if you say transmasculine non-binary every single time, it's a mouthful. It's just, at the time, it's just kind of easier to express yourself in a shorter way.
Well, and just saying non-binary has like a different meaning too. Yeah. So like,
and everybody has a different meaning to non-binary too.
So you can't really just say you're non-binary sometimes. Yeah. Because it's not always like clear what you mean.
Yeah. Not for me personally. Like, it's different for everybody, and everybody's gonna have a different identity for non-binary. And for me, the traditional sense of non-binary doesn't fit how I feel. But neither does being feminine or masculine.
That definitely confused me when we met, because, like, I'll tell my story in a minute, but I'm very new to all of this, especially compared to a lot of the people in my life. And it was something that I really had to, like, had to research about and had to ask you about and had to think about, because, like, I was completely open to the concept of a trans guy, because it was like, oh, you're a guy. But accepting like the non-binary part was really hard for me because of what I had in my head of what non-binary was.
Yeah.
But then after like getting to know you better and after like everything being explained to me, it started to make more sense.
Definitely, yeah. It's something, it's a big change when you grow up in the small Indiana towns that we did. It's a completely new thing sometimes, so.
I don't even think there was an out non-binary person in my school the whole time I was going.
Absolutely.
There was a gender fluid person, but there was not a non-binary person.
So do you want to give out your story?
My story, I sometimes explain things better in writing when I am able to concisely like think about my thoughts and then go back and edit them. So I did just want to say at this point, we're starting a blog and we're going to talk about that later. But I've already written a blog episode that does completely describe the story. And so if you want like the full, like all of the details, then definitely go listen to or go read that. Or you can listen to this for like the shortened version or just the audio version. But yeah, we're gonna be launching that soon, which we'll talk at the end of the episode about that. But it's so hard. I'm still getting a concise story together. With everything, I think it changes a little bit every time, because I know I've talked about it before on this podcast, and I'm positive that it's changed since then. But obviously, we both grew up in Indiana, conservative Christian household. My dad is like the farmer type Republican.
Can confirm.
My mom's crazy, but she's Christian and Republican. Yeah. that's really all. My mom didn't have a whole lot of influence on me as a kid, but she did more and more when she started getting very seriously into religion and the church. And it had a really massive impact on me. And my parents they didn't really get divorced because they weren't married, but they split up when I was 7. And so my whole childhood, I was kind of tossed back and forth between different adults. I had my dad, my mom, my aunt, like my nana, like everybody kind of had a little bit of a piece to who I am. But specifically when I was with my aunt, that is my dad's sister, I really felt as though I was being raised in sort of like a gender neutral way. And it's not like I didn't know what my sex was. Like I was like everybody around me acknowledged that I was a girl, but at the same time I was never ever taught social standards. I was raised with my cousin who was a boy, and we did the same thing, we wore the same things, we did all the same activities together. And so when I got into school, it made it really hard for me to be socialized to other kids because I was very awkward, I was very out there, and I did not fit into what they were. As far as sexuality, with my dad being the way he is, where a lot of like conservative Republican dads just don't talk about like bodies at all. Mm-hmm. So I never got any of that, but from my mom, I always got the thing that was like, sex was bad unless you're married, and also that you shouldn't be having sexual thoughts about anyone ever, because that's what some Christians believe. It depends on the different factors and stuff, but so I was immediately told all that, told that it was a bad thing, and so being a teenager, I felt guilty most of the time.
Yeah.
And I went back and forth. I did some discovering, like, with mainly my sexuality, as, like, ages, like, 13 through 16, where I dated a trans guy. It didn't last very long, but it was a serious relationship. And then I went to dating a cis guy, and then that ended really badly. And that really got like a bad taste in my mouth to a lot of men. And I basically after that didn't like anyone. And I was so into religion and the church back then that I would not let myself have any thoughts about anyone. And so there was no more chance from ages like 18 to 20 to explore my sexuality at all. I just shut it off like completely, basically. Like I honestly didn't have very many crushes or anything during that time. And so then it was really when I met you that a lot of things changed. Because even prior to meeting you, like right before I met you, I was in therapy. And there was like a gender and sexuality chapter in the like workbook we were doing. And I basically said like, hey, I've explored all of this. I'm like good with what I am. Like I don't need to learn anything. I don't need to explore anything.
Turns table.
Yeah. And so then when I met you, with us being friends, it really gave me the opportunity to explore those kind of things because you offer like a non-judgmental type of like environment.
I try really hard to.
Well, I talked about this a lot in the blog. But it really upset me that like you saw things in me that I didn't see in myself yet. Mm-hmm. And it caused like a lot of hurt feelings because you were kind of seeing signs that it wasn't completely like a cis female. Mm-hmm. And it got me really upset and really insecure about myself. And so I had to do like a lot of like soul searching really. But you were always there, completely non-judgmentally. It wasn't your fault at all. It was just like a really hard time for me. And then as our relationship developed and I started, well, like before we were dating, but as our friendship developed, I started having feelings for you and it just all came back. Cause I was like, I already dated a trans guy and it was horrible because I was getting called slurs all the time by like family and friends. And I was like, I honestly don't know if I could do this again. And I was having a lot of those thoughts, and I was having a lot of thoughts of if I like trans people, like, am I really straight? And stuff like that, even though trans guys are guys, like, it brought like a question up in me of like what my true gender and sexuality were. But I kind of put all of that aside when we started dating, and then waited until after we started dating to kind of do some more like exploring with that.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely, you'll hear me say about everything, like, especially in the next year or so, is I'm still like so new and so like exploring and trying to figure out me while also trying to figure out the community and everything. So I'm extremely new to it all. The only other thing I want to mention before I give it back over to you to talk about like us, mm-hmm. is during our relationship, it became a significant factor that because I didn't grow up specifically LGBT, I didn't know safety things, I didn't know a lot of the culture, things like that, and so that like became a problem.
Yeah, that was definitely something that was one of the more challenging things of us getting together, was that I had to like almost broaden your horizons to how difficult our lives can be. And I think we're very fortunate that we are both white, and at that age where we're in a college town, you know, I mean, we do have some benefits to where in most circumstances we wouldn't get hate crime, we hope, but there's still that risk. And you were very much not understanding when people were being mean to us in public or sending us glares or talking down to us or saying slurs behind our back.
And I see it more now, but I still don't even see a fraction of what you do still a year into the relationship.
Yeah, and it's like one of the things it's one of the rougher things about being queer. And I'm sure not everybody's gonna agree with this, but especially if you've been prone to being bullied for it or prone to hate crimes or anything like that, or in a really dangerous side of town, you get that constant like look over your shoulder look, and you're constantly checking your surroundings and making sure that, you know, you're not going to see somebody sketchy who you don't know what they're going to do to you in a back alley. And it's one of those things that I think you just over time you adapt to. And like half of them, I don't even realize I'm doing it. I was like, oh, we gotta glare. We got an ugly look, you know? Like, that old lady looked like flabbergasted that we were queer looking. Oh my God. And it's some of the stuff that most people don't even notice.
I think the hard thing for me, and I don't know how many couples go through this, but it's like not knowing when it's okay to hold hands. Mm-hmm. Cause you wanna hold hands like whenever you want, cause you're like a couple. But then there's some situations where you want to hold my hand and I don't think it's safe, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so that's been like one of the hardest things to get used to.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And again, it's one of those things, it's not something we should have to be worried about. And sometimes people who are a lot more confident and don't really care, but I care about our safety. So I'm much more...
Yeah, we're just safety conscious.
We're very safety conscious, which I think is because we both have a lot of trauma. And so we don't want more trauma to happen and more shit to affect our lives.
I think, like, obviously no one wants it to happen. I just think some people are not as observant of their surroundings as we are.
Oh, definitely.
And then other couples are worse than us, too.
Oh, yeah, no, I've met some.
Yeah.
Or enemies.
Well, not worse, but just more vigilant.
Yeah, and some people just don't feel comfortable being out in public at all. And I mean, that's up to you. That's how you feel in your situations. But it makes me really sad that sometimes people don't feel comfortable, and like this shouldn't have to be a thing, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
Where it's not the 1970s and everything still seems new, even though it wasn't. And we're afraid of getting hung for who we love.
Yeah.
And it's just really frustrating that it's still happening in 2022.
Yeah. So moving on a little bit, I wanted to kind of give like a few disclaimers, like have this be the disclaimer portion of it, that we're going to be talking about these things, but obviously we don't know everything. We are going to be mixing like legitimate facts and research and our opinions, but we are going to try to make it as clear as possible as to what is fact and what is our opinion. And if you don't agree with us on something, like, that's completely okay. If it is upsetting to the point where you don't want to watch anymore, that's okay. Or don't want to listen anymore, that's okay. But I think a lot of things we will have to agree to disagree on, because certain topics are going to be more controversial than others. Things like that. But we definitely have the best intentions in mind when talking about anything.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what I'm wanting to go to school for, is to help educate people on queer topics and queer identity. But, you know, we're also human. And the things in the community and in society, are, especially in today's society, things are constantly evolving and changing. And one day maybe a word's okay to say and the next day is not, you know? And if somebody's offended by something we say, I mean, you can certainly acknowledge it, but please understand that we're people and maybe... even in different regions, some words are okay and some aren't, you know? And in certain countries, some words have different meanings. And you just gotta understand that. It's not the same for everybody. And we have to politely educate.
Yeah. The next disclaimer I want to give is about the use of the word queer. Mm-hmm. And it's basically what you were talking about, but I want to give it its own portion. Because it's going to be used in everything. And it is because... queer is an identity to both of us, and it is to a bunch of other people too. It like has been derogatory in the past. You know more about that than I do. I just did the basics. But it has since kind of been reclaimed more. And the way I kind of use it, I kind of use it interchangeably with like LGBTQ+, just because that's such a long word. Mm-hmm. When you can just say like queer. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I use it, but it's not meant to like offend anybody or anything.
No, we absolutely like recognize that for some people it is like a trigger, or it's something they're sensitive about. Like, I'm particularly sensitive to the F slur, but I know some people that do use that as their identifier, and I can personally recognize that, but I know some people aren't going to agree, and that's okay. This just isn't going to be the podcast for you. This is not going to be the blog. If you want to find other blogs and podcasts, you can reach out to one of us. I can probably help you find resources that maybe don't use that kind of language, but for us, it is our identities, and we are going to be using that language.
Yeah, we will not be giving disclaimers on the use of the word queer from now on. But if we do anything about the topics of like sexual assault or like self-harm, anything like that, any topics that need like a disclaimer or trigger warning, we will be sure to give that. It's not a cover-all, we're just saying for this one thing, we are going to be using the word queer.
Yeah. And we recognize that everybody has different triggers and stuff. I mean, we ourselves do. And it's not something that we can honestly protect you from every single topic, but general stuff like self-harm or assault is something that we can definitely warn about.
Or if there's something that we're speaking about that you know triggers either you or a large group of people, like if you reach out, then I'd probably be more than willing to say at the beginning, hey, just in case you're triggered by this, we're going to be talking about this.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen that with different, like, a lot of streamers don't think to tell people about flashes for like epileptic people. I've seen that problem a lot, and they have to be like educated on it.
So yeah, I mean, if there's something that, you know, is something, I mean, we're people, and we're not educated on every single thing, so just let us know if there's something that we miss.
The last disclaimer that I wanted to give was that, as I said, we're going to be giving our opinions. We don't in any way speak for all queer people.
Absolutely not.
Even though, like, sometimes the language could kind of seem like that sometimes, because we're trying to educate just the broader thing. Mm-hmm. So we might say, like, most LGBT people believe this way or believe this thing, or maybe this thing is bad for LGBT people, but we're not in any way trying to, like, speak for everyone.
Absolutely. And even... different identities within the LGBT community. I mean, like, two-spirited people, indigenous people, black people. It's different languages for everyone. And we are two white 20-year-olds who aren't necessarily fully educated in every single thing, but we're trying our hardest and we don't want to offend anybody.
That's one of the things that I've liked recently. Through my work, we have to do a bunch of trainings about how to be more progressive for everything, not just LGBT stuff. But it's really interesting because people are now at the beginning of some meetings saying what types of privilege they have. Mm-hmm. And it's been really interesting to listen because, like I said, we fully recognize that we have white privilege.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, not only are we white, like, we're white passing. Like, you know, like, yeah. For people who are white passing, a lot of times they have more privilege than other people. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, the other cool one I've heard, sometimes if we're having meetings that took place on what used to be, like, tribal land, mm-hmm. they'll acknowledge that. And like say exactly what type of tribe it was and stuff, which I think is really
cool.
That's
beautiful.
Yeah, we had that in a bunch of different meetings. They were like, we just want to acknowledge that this is taking place on these people's land. And so just like saying that before we get started. So it's been really neat.
That is really cool.
Yeah. moving on to the future. So we talked about we're starting a blog. We don't have all the future things hashed out completely, but we are working on it. And if everything works out the way it is supposed to, by the end of this month, August, which I don't know when this episode is going to come out, but by the end of August 2022, we should have a website that will have a blog on it. And the website will be samandparker.online. So you can just type that into your browser and it should come up. Provided there's no issues.
Yeah.
But, like, that's something to keep in mind about us during this period of time is I'm working a full-time job and going to school full-time. I'm in university full-time. And I'm doing this pretty much full-time, too. I work on this about 8 hours every day.
Yeah.
So I essentially have 3 full-time things. You have...
Full-time job.
Yeah, Parker has... full-time job and like helping take care of the house and doing things on the side.
Yeah, I do a lot of freelancing stuff too. And also just like we're people, you know, we got family issues going on, health issues, everything else in between.
So if it's that's not an excuse at all.
No.
But if things are inconsistent, that is the context to why.
We're trying and we're hoping to eventually be able to have this as our full-time job, but right now it's not.
Yeah. So the podcast and the blog are the things that are concrete right now. That should both be happening either by the end of the month or the podcast. It might have to be the beginning of next month of September, but it will be soon. Looking to the future of things that are not really concrete and future business plans we wanted to discuss, what I would really like is sort of a resource database, which other websites have that too for LGBTQ people, but I think it would be really neat to find some. And so that would include all kinds of different resources that we have like searched through and found about a bunch of different topics. Like I was thinking like we could kind of have like an A through Z list maybe that they can click on, or topic by topic, something like that, where you can find just any type of education that you would want, where you can find access to lists of like gender affirming care, access to like websites that say the different laws protecting LGBT people, like just in general, I want to try to have a resource database, which the package for the website that we are working on purchasing, it has an unlimited database type of thing. And so I'm hoping to start working on that at least by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. We are hoping to expand on the website at some point and include our own merch / just like shopping things. We want to include like clothes, and we want to include also just any like gender affirming gear type stuff. Maybe even eventually doing like sex toys. And the main reason we want to do those things is to provide a much more gender neutral space for all of them. Because that's something we're both insanely passionate about, is having things to be gender neutral.
And like more accessible. I mean, we both have spent so much time researching different things because I'm starting my transition, you know, I'm 3 months on T and I'm switching from a lot more feminine clothing to more masculine clothing and trying to find more neutral things and trying to find affirming sex toys. I mean, that's difficult too without spending an arm and a leg.
Yeah. I don't think we mentioned that you are on T.
I'm not.
It's probably an important.
Yeah.
So 3 months on T. Yep. And so if you hear, you'll definitely notice that in the prior episodes, Parker's voice was a lot higher.
Oh yeah.
And it will be getting a lot lower because it is getting lower every single day. And we're gonna talk a lot about that. So like there'll be whole episodes just dedicated to that. So definitely stay tuned if like testosterone is something you're interested in.
Yep, and different updates and stuff.
Or even top surgery, like we'll update every step of the process once it's time for all of that, once we're able to.
Yeah, because you've been doing TikToks.
Yeah, I do TikToks. My TikTok is Sam Likes Things. And it has shown, I did for the first 2 months, I did weekly videos that showed every single tee shot. And now I am doing monthly videos, updating month by month of the tee progress. And then I also do little videos if we go on dates that are significant, like if we go to prides and stuff like that. I try to give videos on that. So if you want a really good insight to just our life, then that's a really good place to. The next thing I want to cover, as far as all money that we are going to be earning from this business, podcast and blog included, we want to do a baseline of 5% of all the profits donated to an LGBTQ charity of our choice. So it won't always be the same one, but I want to have it completely transparent. And so every time a donation is made, I want to hopefully be posting on our website a receipt of that, showing this is why it's 5% of how much we made with this. This is the charity it's going to, and then also having something explaining that we did the research that this charity is legit and yes, that we know where the money is going to. Like one charity that I trust an insane amount is the Trevor Project, because most people do. But I also want to find littler ones. So if any of our like listeners have like access to any LGBTQ charities, let us know. And we'll definitely be open because we're going to be searching for new ones soon, especially when we start making money.
Absolutely.
And I say 5%, that sounds really low. Definitely. I listed it at 5% because it's 5% of all profit ever. And that is a good place to start. I definitely want to do, once we get a website or maybe during Pride Month, I want to do a lot bigger donations, but I want that to be a baseline for every single dollar we make.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which we've talked about, we wanted to do that for the podcast even before. The podcast hasn't been making very much money up to this point, but once it gets to the point where we can cash it out, then that's what we're gonna do. So long term, our goal, the reason, like the whole point of all this, for me, I kind of listed it as social awareness and change like in the world. And it's all about bringing awareness to like LGBT topics. And part of that is decreasing like the alienation of like, yeah, there's differences and there's things to keep in mind, but we're also all the same. Yeah. We can all work together.
It doesn't have to be like, I don't know, gay people versus trans people or asexual people versus, you know, more fluid people. It just always seems like there's still a barrier within the community. We want to help break down those walls.
That and a focus of mine, especially with the gender neutral clothing, is I want everyone to be welcome to that, not just the LGBTQ community. I would love for allies to be able to go in there and purchase clothes and say like, hey, this is helping out like my fellow brothers and sisters that are going through this because I'm purchasing some really dope clothes and it gives a donation.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's important for everything that we're gonna talk about because that's just really what needs to happen is a lot of education change in the world.
Definitely.
So that's what we're hoping to accomplish. That is the whole rundown. We're gonna be recording a lot of episodes today. We've been working really hard on the blog post. So I just wanna say once again that samandparker.online is going to be our website. So keep checking back into there. Hopefully, I'm hoping to get a system set up where you would be able to type your email in and get email reminders to what we are doing.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's supposed to come with the software I'm getting. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that works out.
Yeah. And then we'll try not to spam you, because I hate spam emails.
No, yeah. Blogs. No. Just like blog update, like
hey, we still exist.
Yeah, like, hey, we're still doing this. Do you want to check it out? But yeah, and I'm also really open about, like, connecting with the community. Mm-hmm. In the outro, I'll probably try to list, or in the description at the very least, I'll list, like, our social medias. But I also want to figure out a more concise way to communicate with our listeners. And so that's still coming. We're still working on anything. But for now, you can definitely find our social media. Shoot us a message or a comment or anything. And we'll definitely get back.
Yep, as soon as possible.
Don't forget to follow us wherever podcasts are available to stay up to date on new episodes. Thanks for watching.